I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent recurring revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network and schedule time to speak with me about how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Marina Darlow. Marina is a systems expert and a productivity geek. She sees her job as helping impact-driven entrepreneurs get 10 to 20 more productive hours a week, stop leaking money, and prevent stress-fuel breakdowns. An engineer by training, Marina came to a realization a couple of years ago. Working for a conglomerate is not as inspiring as she wants her life work to be. The quest for inspiration brought her to found Vision Framework, a company that builds small, purpose-driven businesses from the inside, helping entrepreneurs run their companies with ease by putting effective, easy-to-use, and fun systems in place. Marina, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Marina, whom do you serve? Who's your typical client?
Mostly these are solopreneurs or small companies, up to probably 15 people tops, who are going through a growth spurt, either right on a verge that they know they're going to grow explosively because they just had this new idea, or they already had the growth spurts and now they need to figure out how the heck they operate in this new reality.
Why are growth spurts so challenging? I would think a growth spurt is a great thing to have.
Oh, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing to have, and I wish it on everyone. But when growth happens very, very fast, your systems don't always have time to adjust. So, for example, this is how my business started, actually. A friend went from an agency to a private practice. And because she gave a very specific kind of therapy, very soon, she had a huge waiting list of clients. Now, she didn't have any way of dealing with it. She didn't know how much she should charge for her new programs because she had a revolutionary treatment. She couldn't figure out how many people she could take on, how many hours that would make her work, how much money she stands to make, you know, provided how many clients she'd take. And she's a therapist. So figuring out and thinking in a kind of a linear, systematic way about all these operations was challenging. And that's where I come in. That's what I do.
So you help with pricing strategy too?
Yeah.
Interesting. Let's talk a little bit about that, as a matter of fact, because I know that's, especially for solopreneurs, it's often a challenge. And I've seen so many people who underprice their services.
Yeah. Well, I come at it from an operations angle because, yes, of course, you need to do market research. And yes, of course, you need to figure out where you come in terms of market. For instance, if you're a copywriter, it would be hard for you to charge millions of dollars. Like, you have to be really specific. You have to see what bracket you're in. But before that, there is a math to be done. You need to figure out first how much you can take on, like how many clients, how many people in your program, how many courses you can sell, you know, realistically, right?
Right.
How much you want to take in, what kind of effort that would require on your part. When you know these numbers, when you sit down and do the math and say, if you're taking one-on-one clients, you know, you can only take, say, 20 people a week tops, how much money do you stand to make? If you are selling courses that have a live component, what does it mean? How many hours would that require from you? How many people can you accommodate? If, let's say, you plan to give personal attention to everybody who asks you a question. On the other hand, if you sell courses and you don't plan to have any live component, then it means that, you know, usually the price would be lower, then you need a much bigger audience, how much you're willing to spend on advertisement, how many people do you need to bring into your course in order to make it worth your while. So you go and you calculate all these things to see if your idea is even viable. And then you factor in your market. So what are other people charging? Can you charge more because you're special in a certain way? For instance, a course that I gave would be a relatively high price for the industry because we had these work sessions where we would all come together on Zoom and discuss our homework, discuss our challenges, and so on. So it had this live component. So it could be priced higher. But on the other hand, I couldn't have 100 people in it because that would be pointless. Like, I wouldn't compromise my integrity by saying, oh, all 100 of us are here and I will answer all your questions. It would just not be feasible within an hour. So you need to factor all these things in and decide on your pricing based on both what's worth your while, like what will be sustainable, and how much can you charge? Like, what's even feasible in terms of what would market be okay with? Does that answer the question?
Yeah. And in your work, how well have you seen solopreneurs really analyzing their capacity and understanding what their capacity is?
Well, when people come to me, it's usually because they need help with that. So my view is probably going to be a little biased. Because, you know, it's like asking a dentist, what do you think about people's teeth? Well, people's teeth, they're really bad. That's all I see.
True.
I do know that people struggle with it, especially, I would say, people who, what my mentor once called the heart-centered. So the healers, the therapists, the world changers, essentially all these people who came into their business with the explicit idea of healing the world, of helping, of empowering, without really giving much thought to the practical side of the matters. It doesn't mean these people aren't practical. What it often means, and again, these are the people who come to me. I'm a linear thinker, so I tend to attract people who are nonlinear thinkers. And these people also tend to stay away from doing the numbers, essentially.
Correct. I've seen the same thing, so I totally understand.
Yeah. So yes, I do see that a lot. I also have a feeling that something else is at play here. People are very often uncomfortable dealing with money, period. Especially it's dealing with their money. Like, yeah, you can balance your budget and you're okay with using Mint. But when it comes to pricing your services, your business offerings, it's much more emotionally charged because it's your baby and you invest so much in it. And I'm just the same way. It's much harder for me to price my own services because the stakes are higher and it's tied directly to self-worth. So it adds this another layer of difficulty in dealing with pricing. And instead of being, you know, instead of being a purely mathematical problem, it becomes this big pile of emotions that you need to deal with in addition to solving the math. So yeah, so sometimes people avoid it, people resent it because it's hard to deal with often.
Marina, are there some basic tips that you would suggest a solopreneur that's facing this growth spurt, the basic steps that they should take that will help them deal with some of these challenges?
Absolutely. First of all, if it's emotionally hard and if you notice that it's really taxing on you, have somebody sit there next to you and tell this person what you plan to do. You need like a sounding board. You need somebody to focus your ideas towards because it lets you kind of leave the emotion by the wayside, or at least, you know, be focused on the practical rather than very much in your head. So get out of your head first. And getting out of your head is the easiest to do with another person in the room. The second thing would be purely practical. Sit down, write your first number. How much do you want to charge? Then write next to it how many units you plan to sell. Multiply them. That's your income. Then start with a ballpark assessment, how many hours you need to invest in order for this product to get to market, how many hours you need to invest in marketing and selling the product. Factor all this in. You can divide your assessed income by the hours. See if, again, it's worth your while. Because sometimes you create something on paper, and when you look at the numbers, you figure that you make less than minimum wage, and then you need to alter your idea somehow. It could be, it could be selling it to more people, or it could be upping the price, or it could be just scratching the idea altogether and, thinking of something else. So sit down, do the numbers. If you see that the emotions are too overwhelming, that you really avoid it or resent it, and you just don't do it, have somebody else sit there next to you. It could be a coach, it could be a friend, it could be your 7-year-old. I had an experience where I was really, really struggling with a launch, and my daughter, seven at the time, asked me what it is that I'm doing. And, I'm a good mom. I've tried to be a good mom. So I explained it, what it is that I'm trying to achieve here. And 5 minutes later, an email went out. It was like a miracle. So yeah, have somebody next to you when you do the math.
That's a great tip. Marina, I'm really curious to hear a little bit more about your own personal story and how you developed this expertise that you have, and a little bit about why you've created the kind of business that you've created.
So when I came to the States, my husband was in school and I had to find a job. And I still think that my first job in the States, they made a hiring mistake, because I was a project analyst. And when I came here and I interviewed, they threw me to be a program manager for their biggest client on the premises that this was their most stable client. Essentially run a number of multimillion dollar projects across 3 continents for a really, really large company. And I did it for a while, and it was excruciating. Like, yes, I learned a ton, but it was really, really, really hard. And after that job, there was a big layoff and I had to find another job, which again, it was slightly different. Was manufacturing, was very interesting. But the bottom line is that I burnt out. I burnt out because 18-hour days would do this for you. And I had a small baby at the time. And it was so, I was so lost. I essentially did a 180 degrees turn and went to do an interior design degree at Drisdy. While I was kind of, doing some soul searching and studying at the time, I was in this program of, kind of personal development / business development. And this is where that first story that I told about my therapist friend happened. She essentially needed help because she didn't know how to handle her new and thriving practice. And for me, it was a place where I was really comfortable. It was like, well, let's sit down for a sec. I'll do the spreadsheet for you. Here, plug in the numbers here. Plug in the number of client. Plug in the number of how much you want to charge for program. Let's design the program. How many hours do you need face-to-face? How many hours do you need in a group? How many hours are you going to spend replying to texts? Because that was part of it. Oh, this is how much you're going to make if you have 10 people in this program. This is how much you're going to make if you're going to have 20 people in that program. And this is how many hours per week you're going to work. So basically, for me at the time, it was a place where I was really, really at home. That was my territory, and I didn't think it was anything special. But to her, it was, and I quote, I was like, Marina here is blowing my mind. I honestly thought she was mocking me at the time. But this whole experience made me realize that what I have is not something that everybody has. At the time, I was like, I was worshiping people who run companies. They were like demigods, because of course, if they have the courage and the ability to run a real company by themselves, like nobody's telling them what to do, they're not part of a bigger system, they must be, superhuman. And to realize that these superhuman people may need something that I can offer was a revelation. I was like, wait, I can somehow contribute? I have something that is not to be taken for granted. Like you can see, I was at a very low place in my career development. This is how my business was born. That friend brought others, the word of mouth spread. And essentially, this is how Vision Framework came to be. Here I am today.
Round. Yeah, no, that's an awesome story. And thank you for sharing that. I wondered, since there are so many solopreneurs and we have many in our audience, that have gone through some similar kind of transformation like you just described that you went through, and also the kinds of struggles that your friend was going through, the therapist. A lot of these struggles have to do with their revenue model and how they create a business that has consistent, stable revenue, particularly recurring revenue. I wondered if we could talk a little bit about what your own experience has been trying to build recurring revenue for yourself, and also what you've seen with your clients that have been dealing with these challenges and what some people that have been successful at it have done.
Absolutely. So for me personally, there was a few really key moments. You know, your podcast is called Smashing the Plateau. So for me, at some point in my business, we moved, and I had to go from being local and being, you know, doing my marketing by word of mouth, or which is another way of saying not doing my marketing at all. People came to me, to finding myself in a new city that the word of mouth just didn't work. You know, it's the city's big, nobody knows me, nobody cares about me, and people don't trust as easily as they used to. And I tried to go online. I tried to build my list. It was really, really hard. And I almost folded the business until, and here we get to the interesting part, I was invited to speak at a conference. And the conference was very specific. It was geared toward the ADHD coaches. So I prepared a talk and I came to the conference, and the talk was a surprising success, most surprising to me, to the point where people came to me afterwards and said, would you teach a group? And I'm like, well, if you organize one, of course I would. I was kind of thinking about maybe teaching a group one day, but it never really happened to me. And then after the talk, it was basically thrust upon me. So some of the listeners decided that they want to know more. They organized a group. And this is how my first ever course, my first ever, you know, program of one to many was born. And this model is something that I keep using since, because I feel that this way, A, I can serve more people. People are, I would say, more ready to buy a small coaching program or a small course program than pay for one-on-one coaching, unless it's, the case is really extreme. And once you create the course, you can relaunch it multiple times, provided you nourish your audience and you keep building it. So for me, that works really well.
And Marina, what do you find are some of the key ingredients to getting this first one-to-many offering to work?
Oh, God. Wow, that's a question I need to think of for a second. Here's what I found. And here's also what I see from the people whom I really respect and who are, you know, have arrived. They've done it. You need to be very, very clear on what your audience wants. You need to do market research, and sometimes you need to pilot certain services. For my first pilot, the one that came after, you know, when a course is thrust upon you, basically, you're like, oh, you want me to teach you, and it's based on the talk that I gave. Well, it must be close to the topic. So a simple questionnaire would do, which is what I did. But when your audience is bigger, then you really need to figure out what it is that they need, because you might be surprised. Well, you probably won't, because, you know, you're already a veteran in business. So it's a collective you.
Correct. Right. The question was meant for the collective you.
Yes. So I think what's really, really key here is to narrow down what your audience not just really wants, but what your audience really needs. So you need to figure out not just what they're saying, but what lies beneath what they're saying. And if you can provide answers, solutions to these questions, then you're great. Then people will come to you. Another thing, it's not enough to find it and nail it down. You also need to communicate it very, very, very well. And I find that actually the most challenging part, both for me and for the clients I work with, because to interview people, you know, I wouldn't say that it's easy, but it's at least predictable. You basically go out there, you say, hey, would somebody answer a few of my questions? And some people in your audience say, yeah, sure. And then you interview people and you record what they said. But once you crystallize your content, right, communicating it back, it's an art. it's not something to be taken for granted. So for me, that would probably be one of the most challenging pieces in this whole process.
Right, because that's what helps you build your future audiences.
That also, yes. And it also what actually brings the client into the course that you're marketing now. You need to let people know in the way that they will understand what it is that you're offering.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. So thanks for sharing that. Marina, whom do you know personally who's done a really remarkable job at smashing the plateau?
I can think about two people. One is my coach, Naomi Dunford, and she has a fair, you know, her fair share of internet fame. And she went from, and I only say that because she writes about it in her courses and in her blog. So she basically went from being a pregnant teen in a shelter to running one of the most successful small businesses ever online, being like on every major publication, making, and I'm not sure if I'm comfortable to sharing her revenues, but it's definitely enough, and serving like, you know, hundreds and hundreds and over 1,000 of clients probably over the last few years. So she is somebody who I deeply respect and whom I see just moving forward in a very, and that's important, in a very authentic, very honest way. She's as hypeless as they come. Another example is my client that I'd rather have her stay anonymous because she never gave me permission to share her name. But I will say what she does, she runs a really large forum on a specific topic. And the forum has, at this point, over 2.5 million monthly visitors. So it's really, really big and successful. And for her, for a long time, her income was plateauing. It was at a good level, but it was, you know, she knew she could do better. So what she did, she decided to stop the partnership with a platform that she was using. It was a huge platform that houses internet forums and, you know, it's a big company. And at the time, she partnered with them because, you know, it was a few years ago when Facebook changed their algorithms and almost killed her business. So she partnered with this big platform. But a few years on, as I said, the revenues were plateauing. So she disconnected, was a big decision. She didn't know what she's, you know, what she's going to get. She didn't know what to expect. But her revenues after a few months, they doubled themselves basically. The traffic surged, the ad revenue subsequently became much, much, much higher. And what are the reasons? What she says that the fact that she disconnected from that platform enabled her to improve the forum, the website, so people stay much longer on the pages, both from a technical perspective and also from the kind of content that she could finally put on her forum. And that was huge, huge, huge growth spurts.
Great examples. And Marina, what's coming up for you? What are you working on now? What's coming up in the near future?
Well, I'm going to relaunch a course in the fall. The working title is Implement with Confidence. And it's going to be about execution, about, you know, how people make plans. People are sometimes very good at planning, but when it comes to taking actions, like taking whatever is in the plan and, you know, taking the smallest step, people hit a wall. So the course is about making implementation happen. It's about implementation techniques. It's about getting over the barriers that keep us from execution, about tactics to make it easier, to set, you know, the right environmental, emotional, and mindset fundamentals in order to basically make anything happen. It's about that.
Sounds great. And in addition to what you have coming up, do you have a free gift that you'd like to share with our audience?
I would absolutely love to. So it's a course. It's an email course. And it's called Which System Should You Tackle First? There would be a link in the show notes, I assume.
Yes.
Because I noticed that, especially for solopreneurs, they know they need systems. Everybody knows they need better systems. But then the question begins, okay, great. Where do I start? And if I don't know where do I start, I don't start at all. So the course would walk you through a process where you discover for yourself what hurts the most, and then make recommendations which systems, like which apps, which tools, which software you should look at. What should you check out? For instance, if the place you need to start is dealing with your invoices, where should you look if you really need a system for managing your time better, and so on. So yeah, there will be a link.
That's great. So we'll include the link in the show notes. And how else can listeners learn more about you, Marina, and follow you?
You can come to my virtual home, vision-framework.com. Or you can listen to my podcast. It was born last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's a joy. It's a bundle of joy. It's called Systems Meet Humanity. So you can go and listen at systemsmeethumanity.com. Yeah, I'll be happy if you leave a note, if you come and disagree with me, yell at me, say something about the fact that my content doesn't make sense, or, you know, if you feel like it does make sense, let me know too. I love listening to what my readers and listeners actually have to say.
Yep. When we're creating content, feedback is good.
It's essential. It's like air.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Marina, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Marina Darlow, founder of Vision Framework. Thank you again, Marina, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Schreiner Khan. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau. The mission of Smashing the Plateau is helping solopreneur experts build more stable and consistent recurring revenue in their business. Smashing the Plateau is part of the Best Network, providing expert individual and team mentorship, peer support, and curated educational content that reinforces and expands our goal of the show, helping solopreneur experts get the recurring revenue they deserve. To learn more about us and Best Network and schedule time to speak with me about how to smash your plateau, go to smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. That's smashingtheplateau.com/bestnetwork. We want to help you smash your plateau.